Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The brutal gang rape of a young medical student in India recently has turned global attention to the epidemic of sexual assault and violence against women. But violence against women is a global problem. Here in the U.S., the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate that 1 in 5 American women will be raped in her lifetime. The U.S. Department of Justice reports that 300,000 American women are raped every year. And then if you bring it down to the local level, here's what we're facing. On Friday, 150 people marched here in San Francisco to raise awareness about recent attacks and sexual violence against women. Police in San Francisco just arrested a 25-year-old man who allegedly broke into a Telegraph Hill apartment on Saturday night and assaulted a woman who lived there. On Wednesday night, a woman was mugged and beaten at around 8:20 p.m. in Bernal Heights. Last Saturday, a woman sent out a lengthy email about an attempted rape in the Mission District. She was attacked while walking on Guerrero and 23rd after midnight. The alleged attacker ran after someone in the neighborhood opened a window and turned on a light, but she was badly beaten. There have also been several reports of women carrying cell phones who've been targeted in public spaces and hit with stun guns. In many cases, this is happening in broad daylight. So what can we do to keep our streets safe from gender-based violence? What steps should be taken to end the violence, not just in public spaces, but also in our homes, in our places of work, in the military? The list goes on. What will it take to have a real conversation about this, and also to have a conversation not just when something horrible happens in India, but when this happens on a regular basis? We're going to open the lines today to air our concerns, and we would love to hear from you. Have you heard about what's been happening recently in San Francisco? Are there other things that you'd like to talk about that have been happening in your communities? How are you responding to sexual assault? Has this happened to you personally? Or how do you respond when you just hear news reports? These reports are getting widespread attention on Facebook. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Today we are joined by Delilah Rumberg, Chief Executive Officer of the National Sexual Violence Resource Center and the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape. The National Center collects information and resources to assist those working to prevent sexual violence and to improve resources, outreach, and response strategies. Hi, Delilah. Welcome to the show. And here in studio, we are joined by Michelle Sievers, Site Director for Holla Back San Francisco. Holla Back is an international movement to end street harassment. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Thanks
good morning.
For coming in.
Thank you.
And Julie Baltzi is case manager of San Francisco Women Against War, Against Rape. Sorry about that. That was a typo. A women of color-led, volunteer-based organization that has provided rape crisis services to survivors of sexual assault for over 30 years. Hi, Julie. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Good morning.
Great to have you.
Thanks.
So we've got a lot to talk about here. I want to start by coming... We'll turn it on. By focusing on what's happening at the local level. Unfortunately, we have seen an increase, I think. I want to know if this is an increase in sexual assault cases in public. I just listed a number of things that have happened in the last week in San Francisco. And Michelle, you actually wanted to add to that list.
Yes, last Sunday, Monday night, a woman was walking home in the Tenderloin and was propositioned by a man on the street for oral sex. And when she rejected him, he took out either a knife or a sharp instrument, slashed her face, and stabbed her in the arm. She was able to get away and run home and call the police and has been recovering from her injuries. But this is... Very scary.
And have you heard of these other attempts and attacks that I just mentioned in the introduction?
Several of them. Not all of them, which is overwhelming.
So how do you explain this? Is there an uptick in violence? Is that fair to say? Or do we just have access to more information?
I think it's the latter of what you just said. It's hard to be able to say whether or not this is a new phenomenon or it's an increase because historically we've been taught to be silent about sexual violence and any form of violence against women. And so throughout the hard work of activists working for decades on this issue, we are able to speak up about it. And now people are caring about it and paying attention. And I think it's really a strong indicator, the fact that it's being so broadly shared on Facebook and other things, that this is a really good opportunity to open the discussion.
Because when you look at statistics, the majority of rapes are conducted by someone you know. And what makes a lot of this so scary is that it's random. And in the case of the stun guns and attacking women for their cell phones and their purses, it's happening in broad daylight. Just last week, something happened at Divisadero and Haight at the bus stop at 1:30. Julie, how are you making sense of this? Is there an uptick, or is it just like what Michelle said? We have access to more information and we're able to share more.
I don't know. I think it's kind of difficult to say, but from my assessments, just from what I've noticed, I mean, I do kind of think there is an uptake in violence that's happening in public. And I think about things like there was the serial rapist in Potrero Hill last year, just very, very, very violent attacks happening out, you know, in public. Women were fighting back and screaming, and it just made it worse. I kind of started to see, you know, maybe a bit of an uptake that was happening right around then. And I kind of have a little theory, too, that people notice that you can do things in public and you can just get away with it. And I think that when people start to see that, you do see a bit of an increase. And so I can't help but think that, yeah, it's like we do have more access to information. But I do also feel there is a bit of an increase in it, too.
And the rapes that you just mentioned, a man was convicted of the 25 of 26 charges he faced for the attacks. And he got an incredibly long sentence.
Over 300 years.
Right. And Delilah, you come at this from more of a national perspective. What are your thoughts about what I just mentioned about what's happening here in San Francisco? And how would you make sense of this for us?
Well, I agree with both things that have been said previously. And I think what I would like to focus on, and I think you alluded to that, is that, or the previous speaker did, that that they're becoming bolder and more attacks are happening in public because they can get by with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the key thing to consider and to talk about, because we need to focus on that and what can we do as communities and what can we do as individuals, as bystanders, so that those people that would commit those crimes don't think they can get by with it or believe that they can. So there's a big push nationally with both of these programs, as well as, you know, the ones here on the East Coast, to talk about bystander intervention and what can we do at the individual and local community level to stand up against this kind of violence, so that those who perpetrate know that they're not going to get by with it.
What explains the violent nature of these attacks? Because there are some flyers that are now being posted in various neighborhoods. And on one flyer, cops are actually stopping women who are talking on their cell phones, saying you need to know that the attacks are becoming more violent. I mean, my phone was stolen out of my hand on the N Judah last year going out to the beach. And the guy pulled it out of my hand and called me the B word. And when I reported it, the cop said, it's a good thing you didn't resist, because I visited people in hospitals. The thieves see a $100 bill on your cell phone. They can easily sell it for $100, and they'll do whatever it takes to get it. And so based on these flyers, the cops now are saying that they're taking more violent measures. Mm-hmm. How do you explain that, Delilah?
Well, I think, you mean why is it becoming more violent?
Right, rather than just pulling it out of your hand, why are they now using stun guns to also push you on the ground?
Again, because I think that they can, and they're getting by with it. And I certainly think that's important what the police are doing. We do need to think about risk reduction. But I think there again, we all have to realize, you know, start to think about what has emboldened them, and the fact that they are doing this is because they've been successful. So not only do we think about the things we can do about risk reduction, but how can we prevent those acts from happening in the beginning?
So how can we prevent this from happening?
Well, again, as I mentioned before, bystanders. We've got to change the social norms that influence those people that, and promote those decisions to engage in these acts. I think it's our cultural attitudes and beliefs about violence that have changed. You know, we're accepting all sorts of forms of violence. We're accepting those, you know, even all sexual violence isn't illegal, and that's what Hollaback will talk about. Sexist, violent jokes, comments about someone's appearance, you know, we've made it okay to joke about sexual orientation, gender identity, and that it's okay to make vulgar gestures. Those are the kinds of things that, even though they're not threatening or harmful in the beginning, but those are the kinds of behaviors that contribute to a culture that accepts sexual violence. So we have to, as bystanders, we have to speak up whenever we witness even those minor things that may not be, like I said, violent in nature physically, but they are leading the way to those kinds of behaviors that as they become more violent. So we've got to talk about healthy sexuality, safer communities, healthier relationships, and how we can do that as individuals, families, and communities.
And Michelle, what would you add to that?
I think that's a very good point that Delilah brought up about the fact that bystanders have to be part of this. So many times, all women that I've talked to, and myself included, we walk down the street and we hear this in our ear, little comments, hey, baby, oh, you look good on me. And that might seem, because it's so frequent, it might seem it's annoying, or it's the price we pay for being a woman walking down the street. But then, like Delilah said about pushing those boundaries, well, if they can say that and they're not getting a negative response, then they're going to push further to be groping and physical contact and assault. And then it just kind of snowballs down into more and more violent occurrences. And when bystanders are there and you hear it, when other people are having these comments directed towards them, and we need bystanders to, in different ways, personal safety is paramount. And so if you feel safe to speak up, we definitely encourage that, to holler back at these perpetrators. Because like a 2-year-old, if you don't tell them no, they're going to keep going.
Right. And we definitely want to talk about the response also, because that's what a lot of women are talking about right now, is how do you respond to this? But before we do that, Julie, what would you add to that question about how to deal with all of this?
I've been thinking a lot about bystanders, especially when you think about what happened in Ohio recently, in the small town where it's like this football community. You had a woman get raped repeatedly in front of a bunch of people. And you had this whole culture of just misogyny and sexism and chauvinism all kind of like backing each other up and covering up for each other. And I think probably a lot of peer pressure, too, like a fear, you know, a fear of not going along with it and a fear of speaking up, because now you have all of these witnesses on that case who won't say anything. And it seems like you even have the coaches colluding it within that culture. That's how it appears, you know. So there's all of that to contend with. And it just kind of seems like in many cases, people act a little bit badly in crowds. Like if there's a dominant energy playing out, it seems like it takes a lot of courage for someone to stand up and say, this isn't okay with me, you need to stop. People kind of cower from that. And I would like to see us have more courage and actually call this stuff out, you know?
And one of the reasons why that case has finally gotten media attention is because Anonymous uncovered some video.
Right.
That is Julie Baltzi. She's case manager with San Francisco Women Against Rape. That's a women of color-led, volunteer-based organization that provides rape crisis services to survivors of sexual assault. Michelle Sievers is site director for Hollaback San Francisco. That's an international movement to end street harassment. And Delilah Rumberg is CEO of the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. Center and the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape. And on today's Your Call, we are talking about gender-based violence and assault. As I mentioned earlier, there have been a number of attempted rapes and attacks on women here in San Francisco. This is getting a lot of attention, specifically on Facebook. On Friday, over 150 people marched in the Mission District of San Francisco to raise awareness about these recent attacks and to talk about what we need to do to keep our streets safe. We'd love to hear from you. What has your experience been like, either directly or indirectly? If you've been assaulted, we'd love to hear your story. How do you feel when you hear news reports about this, or when you just hear us talking about what's going on, for example, an attempted rape in the Mission? Michelle talked about what happened in the Tenderloin. What reaction comes up for you when you hear this? We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. How should we respond? What resources are out there, and what can we do to keep this conversation going? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Foy in Oakland. Hi, Foy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having this show. When I was a student in the 60s at San Francisco State, a guy who was a psychology student asked me out, and I thought he was a little creepier. There was something wrong. I didn't want to. So I kept refusing him, and finally he invited me over for a dinner party with these people. He lived in a very fancy place on Post. And so I thought, well, you know, there's going to be other people there. I should be fine. When I arrived, the woman of the other couple kept looking at me kind of strangely. And I felt real weird after eating the salad. Well, it's because he had laced it with a lot of marijuana that I wasn't used to. And so he used it as a date rape drug. When I went to lay down, he raped me. And years later, when he was a psychologist, now think about that. We have a rapist who's a psychologist. Years later, when he was a psychologist, I ran into him, and I asked him for his phone number because I thought, well, maybe I can sue this guy or something. You know, I've run into him. I should get. Anyway, when I asked him for his phone number, he thought it's because I wanted to, quote, get together with him again. Can you imagine? Anyway, something that I've noticed is a lot of young men look at me now that I'm an older woman, or like they wanted to practice elderly female euthanasia on me. And that's the feeling where if you're a woman past childbearing age, you should be dead because you don't sexually stimulate them anymore. And that's a very, very creepy feeling also. And my last comment is, if someone calls you the B word, turn around and say, no, dear, you're the B. Say it to them. Call them that. And if that doesn't wake them up, call them a dildo. Oh. Because I asked a good friend of mine to think for a long time, what, you know, if somebody calls me that word, what can you call them back that's going to offend them as bad as that offends me? And he came up with dildo, and you know, it works every time.
All right. Well, gosh, thank you, Foy, and thank you for sharing your story. We'll get a response. We have full lines, and I just want to take a few more before we go to break. We'll get a response in just a couple minutes. Thanks for calling in. Let's hear next from Sally in Santa Cruz. Hi, Sally.
Hi there. First of all, thank you so much for having this show. It is so important. I have never experienced rape or molestation as a child, as far as I know. Actually, as I was sitting here waiting to talk to you, I thought, in fact, you know, I have experienced sexual abuse, though, because it seems it doesn't take much to make a woman feel demoralized, at least me. When I hear you asked about hearing about the news reports and such, sorry about the bus behind me. Just hearing about the Indian incident and seeing scenes in films like Watchmen, if anybody has seen that, you probably know the scene I'm talking about, and so many other instances where women are exposed to violence, even if it's just seeing it or hearing about it, feels truly demoralizing, and I can't get those images out of my head. So I live with them, you know, all the time. I mean, they come up now and then. I don't feel, you know, like I'm debilitated by it, but in fact, it's significant. And one of your speakers talked about social norms and changing them, and I have a 2-year-old son, and my mother gave me Cinderella Ate My Daughter, a book by Cindy Orenstein, before we knew the sex of the child. And I thought, oh, I don't really have to read it now that I'm have a boy, but I started reading it anyway, and it's just as relevant, raising a boy to not be, you know, because I don't want him to be sexist, et cetera. So, and also as a woman, it's really interesting.
That book is actually by Peggy Ornstein. We've had her on before. And yes. you bring up some good points. A lot of people are talking about this, about violence in films and social norms, and we'll raise those issues in just a couple of minutes. But I just want to get to a few more callers before we head to break. Let's hear from Crystal in San Francisco. Hi, Crystal. Welcome to the show. Hi, Crystal. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. Basically, I wanted to talk about men's attitudes in the Tenderloin walking through. I've been a resident here for about 4 years and never really had a threatening encounter. But I want to ask, how do we set boundaries with walking through and trying to, you know, stay safe and not being too inviting? So say a gentleman wants to say hello to me or what have you, and if I say hi, then that gives him a route to, you know, talk to me and follow me and harass me. But if I don't say hi, then that also gives him a route to harass me and call me a B word or a slut or what have you, just because I haven't said hi or because I did say hi.
Right.
And that's another way.
Yeah, thank you. Why don't we take that one? Because a lot of people are talking about this, how to respond to something that, as Crystal said, something as basic as a hi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you deal with this, Michelle, on a regular basis at Hollaback.
Yeah.
What would you say?
It's very hard. And it's very frustrating that the focus is on, well, what should I be doing as the subject of the harassment? What could I do differently? Well, we really need to turn the lens on the perpetrators, and that's what we're doing with Hollaback, with our iPhone and Droid apps.
Yeah, so tell us about what you do.
We provide a space for people who have experienced street harassment to share their story. And we believe that by sharing your story, it's a very empowering experience and transformative for yourself and for this whole society, that we can just start to chip away at dismantling this culture of misogyny and of rape, so that if you're not able to holla back in that moment, or if you want to, you can take a picture of your harasser if you feel safe to do so, and then post it to our website. And by sharing the story and mapping it, it seems like it becomes more of a reality, and you can see that I'm not alone in this, and it turns the lens on the perpetrator.
And hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and after the break, we'll talk more about ways to respond, because a lot of people are talking about this. Today on Your Call, we are talking about gender-based violence. Every 2 minutes, someone is assaulted in the U.S. Half of these assaults are not reported. There's been a number of violent attacks in San Francisco in the last week, and we'd love to hear your experiences. How should we respond and keep this conversation going? We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on KALW. To take part in this morning's conversation, call 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. And please let us know if you're a first-time caller. We always love to hear from new voices. And if you prefer to write rather than call, you can send an email question or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a message on the website as well, yourcallradio.org.
Thank you. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up, we will continue our Agenda for a New Economy series by talking about what needs to happen to create jobs, good-paying jobs. For the past few years, more than 23 million Americans have been unemployed with few prospects of finding jobs. Some have stopped looking. So which sectors are actually hiring? And if you're looking for a job, we'd love to hear from you tomorrow about what your experience has been like. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about gender-based violence. The horrific gang rape in India has turned global attention to this issue. And today we are talking about it on a national level and also a local level, because unfortunately, there have been several recent attacks against women here in San Francisco. And I'm going to post a lot of information on our Facebook page. There's been information about, for example, an attempted rape in the Mission. Last Saturday, a woman sent out a lengthy email about what happened at Guerrero and 23rd. There have also been several reports of women carrying cell phones who've been targeted in public spaces with stun guns. An incident just happened on Wednesday, Divisadero and Haight Street at 1:30 in the afternoon. The cops are saying this is really nothing new, but these attacks are becoming much more violent. We've got full lines right now, but we would love to hear from you. We'll have a line open in just a couple of minutes at 866-798-8255. You can also leave a comment on our website. We really need to share this kind of information to remain vigilant, to let people know what's happening, and to share resources. And you can share your story at yourcallradio.org. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Delilah Rumberg, CEO of the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. They collect information and resources to assist those working to prevent sexual violence. She is also with the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape. Julie Baltzi is case manager at San Francisco Women Against Rape. And Michelle Sievers is site director for Hollaback San Francisco. They're an international movement to end street harassment. And before the break, Michelle, you were just telling us about what Hollaback does, how to respond to these highs, how are you, you're pretty kind of thing. And some women actually take photos of the men that are doing this and post them on a website.
Yes, that's actually how Hollaback got started in New York City. A woman was on a subway train and a man was sitting across from her masturbating. And she took a photo. This was back in 2005 with the flip phone, brand new technology. And it just went viral. And so we want to leverage technology to be able to address this issue that just seems so normalized for us to be walking down the street. And we want, by sharing our story, to inspire local authorities and policymakers to make new policy so that the streets are safer for everyone, because we believe that everyone has the right to walk down the street free of harassment and violence.
And you have an app for this also.
Yes, iPhone and Droid apps, and it's called Hollaback.
Do you think people realize how pervasive this is?
That's a challenge. I think a lot of women and even LGBTQ people know that it's pervasive. It's just now, by sharing our story, we can show others that, yes, it is.
What's the end result? I mean, what has come of the website and posting the photos and women using this app?
We are now in 65 different cities all across the world. It just shows that it's not a cultural thing. It's an everybody thing. And we have been able to work with our local communities and policymakers to, you know, help with bystander intervention, and to in New York and D.C. specifically, because San Francisco is a new site, they have been working with the subway station workers to say, if someone comes to you and they have been harassed on your train, you know, don't ignore them, don't dismiss them, and take action immediately.
And how does the app work?
You can either take a photo, and whether or not you feel safe enough to do so directly of the person, or many people will take a picture of maybe their feet or something. And then you can also state what had just happen. That goes directly to our different websites. SanFrancisco.iHollaBack.org is for San Francisco. And then it, we map it. And you say where you were and what had happened. And that way we have this visual of the pervasiveness.
I will say, as because these attacks against women carrying their cell phones in public have increased, there's been a lot of talk about not using your cell phone in public. Do not take it out because there's a guaranteed $100 bill on that cell phone. It sells on the black market for $100. So there's a concern.
So then for
there.
Your safety,
right.
Maybe later on,
right.
You can still send your story in after it happens through okay. the app. Or through the website.
All right.
Directly.
And I want to make sure we address Dana's question because I'm sure others are also thinking about this. Julie, do you want to quickly add, how do you respond to these catcalls during your daily walks downtown?
Yeah, I think it's going to be different for every single person.
Right.
I think there's a lot to be said for trusting your instincts, mm-hmm. 100%, just really doing exactly what you feel. And that's what I do. So when that happens to me, I often do say something back to them, something that draws attention to their behavior, something that points them out in a crowd. I try to, you know, that's my approach. But there could be other situations, too, where you don't feel safe to do that. And maybe the safer thing feels like you just look away, walk straight ahead, and, you know, walk confidently and just keep going and don't open yourself to you know, whatever their response might be.
And Delilah, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think they've covered it pretty well. I know I have grandchildren, and I've one of the things I've told them, encouraged them to do, is just look people in the eye sometimes. Again, knowing you've got to determine your safety, but look people in the eye, say, stop it, I don't like it, stop it, don't do it anymore, I don't like it when you whistle at me, or something like that. So I think if you have the opportunity to do that and you feel safe, that's one of the things, like I said, I encourage my grandchildren to do when it comes to bullying or any kind of harassment.
All right. Well, thank you again for the call. And let's hear next from Dana in Redwood City. Hi, Dana. Hi, Dana. Sorry about that. You can give us a call back. Let's go to Lark in San Francisco. Hi, Lark.
Hi, thanks so much. I love your show.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It happens on a regular basis, as with millions of other women, and usually on kind of a busier, more open street, it's just kind of, you know, people making inappropriate comments. But oftentimes, just a couple weeks ago, it's generally kind of more in a somewhat desolate or higher crime area. Just a couple weeks ago, going down into Civic Center Bar, some kids, and I say kids because I'm in my 30s and they were about 18, although it's really irrelevant, their age. They pushed, and I did have my cell phone out, which I realized wasn't a good idea. Mm. They pushed me against the wall and started grabbing me. Mm. I got away. I ran upstairs. I was shaken, you know, and kind of crying a little bit because they were grabbing, and there was a nice couple there. But what I want to, it's something that happens, unfortunately, on a regular basis. But my question kind of slash comment, in a way it's a rhetorical question, is I've always thought over the years, you know, just in general with violence. My mom, when I was little, was, you know, she had walking down the street, her things were stolen. And I've always thought why there didn't seem, at least on the surface, to be the community outrage toward the violence of people's neighbors, you know, relatives, whatever it would be, as there was, for instance, recently, the huge, huge closing down of BART with the horrible, horrible murder of that gentleman. And I realize when it's the police who do something, intellectually I do understand that, you know, the police have the power and I understand the difference. But nevertheless, there never seems to be quite the outrage toward just the everyday terrible violence, whether it's toward people in general. And even with that recent incident, I mentioned it to a friend of mine, a, you know, well-educated man, and he said, and his first reaction was, you know, are you okay? But then he said, you know, they probably just weren't taught right. That's his reaction. And I understand intellectually what he meant. And that may be true, but in a way that's irrelevant. Anyway, I guess my question is, although I know it's rhetorical because I understand why, there just doesn't seem to be the community outrage, like thousands of people turning out and closing down BART until you know, these next-door neighbor boys, stop doing this. Do you understand my question?
I do. And I'll ask that. And I also wanted to know, Lark, what time did this happen to you at the Civic Center Bar?
Right in the daytime.
Wow.
Right, and I realize why. It's because it was kind of when you go down into Civic Center Bar, there's a certain set of stairs which are kind of tight and desolate.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, gosh, it was like 3 in the afternoon. And, you know, I mean, you learn, I guess, as a, not only as a woman, as a person in general. You know, you avoid certain neighborhoods, you avoid certain streets, you avoid certain times, but sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
For me, when I'm walking down the street and people yell and tap call, you know, I just kind of look straight ahead and keep going.
Well, you know, and thank you so much. I know I try to avoid that, those steps, actually, at night, because you're right. Mm-hmm. There's nobody around. So you brought up a number of points here. First off, what are your thoughts about community outrage? Because we've seen massive outrage in India over the gang rape. People are still taking to the streets there. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? Should there be more outrage? Are you surprised that there's not more outrage, Michelle?
I think that the outrage... That's very difficult to answer. I know within my own circle, within the work that I do, it seems very obvious in that I've always been outraged by all these incidents of violence. So sometimes it's hard for me to connect with others who are not as aware. And I'm not sure why they're not aware, but that's part of why I wanted to bring Hala back, is to make the general public more aware of what is happening.
I wonder too if there's almost so much of it that we become kind of deadened to it in a way, sort of numb to it. And there's even that kind of like underlying cultural, well, boys will be boys and this is what they do. And so it's almost like that kind of behavior is to be expected or something. And, you know, maybe I just wonder how much energy all of us have to become outraged at every single incident. You know, I mean, there's so much going on to be outraged about, really, that it's sometimes it's hard to get engaged with every single incident that happens.
Well, and there was a march on Friday in response to the attempted rape in the Mission District last weekend.
That's great.
And it has started a very lively and ongoing conversation on Facebook. Mm-hmm. People are really talking about this. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it continues. But if you're calling in, I'd love to ask you that question also. What are your thoughts about the response to this? How should we respond? And again, we still have full lines, but we'll have a line open in just a few minutes at 866-798-8255. Today on Your Call, we are talking about gender-based violence. We'd love to know what's happening in your community. How have you been affected by this, either directly or indirectly? How should we respond? What do you want the conversation to sound like? And we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org, or better yet, post on our website so the rest of us can read your thoughts, and we can also share information about this issue. Let's go through a few callers, and then we'll get responses. Let's hear from Andre in San Francisco. Hi, Andre.
Oh, hi, Rose. Thank you so much. I actually called with a comment about a news report I heard this past weekend, and that is that a world news, probably BBC. They were talking about the gun violence in this country, and they're talking about making gun violence people who have guns who are registered to them that public knowledge. And as an aside, in one sentence, they said there is also a movement to making the victims of rape name public information. I'm interested in your guest's comments on that.
All right, thank you for that, and we'll get a response in just a couple of minutes. Let's go next to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy.
Hi there. I had two things I wanted to say. One is, you know, I've had my share of sexual assaults and harassment, and I'll only treat you to one of them. Which was an interesting response that I had. I was in real middle America working, and I had to go downtown on a Saturday. It was pretty empty down there. And first I passed the, you know, the local Big Al's place, you know, a place that denigrates women, really. And then I got a couple of harassments on the street, and I just felt so disgusted. disgusted and fed up that at the last comment, something just came out of me like it was like a volcano, like this primal scream. I just looked at the guy and went, rah! I won't do it on the radio because it'll blow the radio out. But anyway, I just turned around and screamed with this sound. And it, you know, I'll bet he'll never do that again. And so that was that. But the other thing that I wanted to say is that I think that men working on themselves is the biggest part of this puzzle. And I remember back then, back in those days, you know, I was very, very concerned about this issue then. And there were some groups. There was a group called Men Against Violence Against Women. There was a group called Men Against Rape. And I think that those guys would go and hold workshops and stuff and really help people, help men understand what they were doing to women and to themselves, how dehumanizing they were. And another thing that I'd like to talk about is, in connection with that, is a movie that I saw back then called Rape Culture, which is a great movie. And it was about a prison consciousness-raising group of men. You know, men who came to realize how misogynist they'd been.
Right. Well, thank you. This is a really important issue. I think we did a show about this a couple of years back, but we should revisit this. And we'll get a response in just a few minutes, Judy. Thank you for calling. Richard in Berkeley couldn't stand the line, but he wanted to say that bystanders should stand up for people being attacked, too. This is also getting a lot of attention at the march in San Francisco. They put out a manifesto that said, let people know that you see them, acknowledge them. Stop looking down at your phone when you walk down the street. Say, hello, I see you, I acknowledge you. In the case of the woman who was almost raped last weekend in the Mission on 23rd and Guerrero, someone did open their window and turn the light on. And at that point, the man ran away. Mm-hmm. So that's also really important. So thank you, Richard. And let's hear next from Anshu in San Francisco. Hi, Anshu.
Hi there. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to suggest that we open up the conversation even more, just rebounding on what the previous callers have said. I was in India in the aftermath of the Delhi gang rape incident, if you remember that.
Yes.
And it was a very emotionally turbulent moment, and the whole country was shaken up, and children and men and women were marching, and it was, you know, of course, it's a society that's different, but in many ways, it's not that different here. Mm-hmm. And I regret that we can't extend the solidarity and the know-how between nations, because just as, you know, somewhere here in San Francisco, you might get harassed by somebody calling you the B word. Well, what actually happens to Indian women when they have to go to work and take the bus, they get pinched on their buttons, on their breasts, and you know, it's the same thing, if worse. And I wish there was some kind of exchange of procedures and ideas, not just within, you know, cities, but also across the country, that we created, you know, like some kind of recognition, like, I don't know, a saffron band, which men, women, children could wear, grandmothers, and say, hey, you know, I have zero tolerance for this, so if you're in trouble, you can talk to me, if you're in a bus or wherever. And the other thing that I feel very importantly about is that we keep treating this as if it's, you know, criminals, perverts. Unfortunately, it's far too banal to be that. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So there's something, you know, some kind of responsibility that we carry as a society. Mm-hmm. The way we raise our sons, our brothers, I mean, these are men. They must have mothers and sisters and grandmothers, you know. What I would like to hear from those people, those men who have done it, maybe not to the most terrible degree that is rape, but even, you know, what they might call light harassment. What happens in their minds?
Right.
And what makes them think that it's okay? I mean, surely we're responsible in some way for creating that. These don't have to be, you know, like high-flying criminals or sexual predators, because once again, you know, it comes into the news once in a while, but gang rape? It is banal in India, in rural areas. And I'm afraid it's not that, you know, that unheard of either in the United States. Yet we fail to form a cohesive, international workforce that will give solutions and problems and look into it in a way that's neither victimized nor, you know, accusatory.
Well, thank you. I mean, you bring up a lot of issues because this is a massive topic. And you just reminded me that earlier this month, the House of Representatives in Washington failed to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act. This is the first time it's happened since it was enacted in 1994. But you raised a number of very important points. And why don't we get responses to these calls, and then we'll try to get as many more as we can before we end. Delilah, what's your response to Anshu?
Well, I think she's right on target. And I think one of the things, as I talked about bystander intervention, is at, in the local communities, and it was Judy, too, that said men need to be working on themselves. And there are many good programs, primary prevention programs, that are starting to, number one, spring up all across the country, and we're beginning to get research behind them, and we know how effective they are. California has a campaign called My Strength, and if you go to mystrength.org, you can find out about that, and that's a campaign for high school boys, offering them a place where they can explore how they can prevent sexual violence in their communities. So I think there are lots of really good programs that we can start working with the schools and educating our children at a very young age. And also we've got programs for teachers on how to deal with the violence in the schools. So one of the things I really just encourage each community is find those programs that are out there. You've got the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault there. That's one of the great resources for all kinds of programs. Prevent Connects there in the San Francisco area that has all kinds of resources on violence prevention, so you should really check those out. And most recently, there's a campaign starting across the nation that was actually started by the Liz Claiborne Group, which is now Fifth and Pacific Companies, called NoMore.org. And that's Together We Can End Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. So I think there are many, many campaigns that are starting across the nation, and each community should look at ways that they can get involved and look at ways that they, as individuals in their programs or workplaces or whatever, can start to do the violence prevention.
And we're also getting a lot of emails just about basic street survival. So just quickly, what are your thoughts about things like pepper spray and mace? Because a lot of women are talking about possibly getting this on Facebook. What are your thoughts on that, Julie?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a hard one for me. I really don't have a lot of experience with the survivors that I work with, who, you know, people who have tried to use mace, but certainly after a violent episode or after they start to really feel threatened, people do start really looking into those types of, you know, so I'm not sure how effective or not they really are, but I certainly understand the impulse to try to arm yourself in some way, because what can you do?
Well, and also self-defense classes.
Yeah, self-defense classes.
We'll put info on our Facebook page. There are classes being offered soon at USF, free classes from Impact Bay Area, and then you can also take classes at City College.
That's right.
So I just want to put a couple resources out there. And then also there's a taxi called taxi cab service called Homobiles. And I understand that they started to help the transgender community, but they're available for anybody, any supporter. And if you're in a tough situation, you can text them. If you have no funds, it's all donation. So we'll put that up also. I mean, all of this stuff is really important, just to share these resources. Would you add anything, Michelle?
I think the point made about working with men and boys and teaching healthy masculinities, a lot of times, if it is, like in the case of the Steubenville rape, that men are performing for other men, and they're trying to show off their what is perceived as acting macho or acting like a man. And so if through these programs like My Strength, of teaching healthier masculinities and respecting women, and then also the point of working with bystanders, of like the one caller, just broadly, I just applaud all of the callers who shared their experiences. That is very powerful, and I thank them for that. And the one woman in the BART station, she mentioned a couple who came up to her. And if you can't say something right in the moment, although we encourage bystanders to intervene in the moment, or then even afterwards, you can, if you witness a woman being harassed, you can go up to her and say, excuse me, do you know what time it is? You can be completely off topic of what is happening to her, or afterwards go up to her or anyone who's being harassed and say, are you okay? Would you like me to walk with you? And so by that couple asking the caller, you know, are you okay? Seeing someone visibly upset, I think it is our responsibility to take care of each other.
Yeah, and we've got just a number. I'm so sorry we can't get to all of your phone calls. We have so many calls and emails. I just want to read one from Pamela. This should be our next show. She says, I'm wondering why there are no men calling into the show. I believe for us to make changes, it's important to involve men in thinking about how to create change. How can we involve men in this issue? So we have to have another show about that. Yeah. Julie, where should this conversation go from here? 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how can we keep it going, I guess?
Well, I'm really into what that person just wrote in. I was just thinking about the same thing, about what Pamela just said. Because here, as women, we have the responsibility of defending ourselves and trying to figure out how to actually, you know, survive these situations and whatnot. So it would really be great to see men stepping up and saying, what can we do as men to hold each other accountable and to teach each other a thing or two and to respect women?
Well, I'll pitch that at today's editorial meeting. That is Julie Baltzi, case manager at San Francisco Women Against Rape. Michelle Sievers is site director for Hollaback San Francisco. Delilah Rumberg is CEO of the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for calling and sharing your stories. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of your phone calls, but we will continue this conversation. I'm Rose Aguilar. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. What needs to be done to create good-paying jobs? On the next JOR call, we'll have a conversation about the rate of job growth in the U.S. For the past few years, more than 23 million Americans have been unemployed with no prospects of finding a job. In fact, some have stopped looking. So which sectors are hiring? Join us at 10 or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Are you looking for a job? What's your experience been like? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on, and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.